knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with an announcement for all of you who have been following this show for so very long. Something you may not be aware of is that I make video versions of the shows, which become posted subsequently, but it's an independent process. I have to set it up with Zoom, connect with my guests and so forth, record, download, and all that. The schedule I'm on here, which is, of course, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, was not of my choosing. Hawk gave me that opportunity when he wanted me to move to 3 days a week. But those really aren't ideal times for me. Now, it turns out that a new media entity, actually calling itself Real Deal Media after a show I used to do that had 225 episodes before it got shut down by actually physically cutting my producer's cable, his internet cable, at his home 3 different times, is going to be launching now, where my program, The Conspiracy Guy, of which a good number of you are no doubt aware, which has been broadcast now for the last 5 Sundays, beginning on the 24th of May with the coronavirus phenomenon, medical emergency or political pandemic. The second show, 31 May, the moon landing hoax, how we know we didn't go. Number 3, 7, June 2020, the New Zealand shootings, were they real or a political stunt? The Force Show, 14 June 2020, The Second Amendment and the Politics of Gun Control. Then the fifth, just this past Sunday, 21 June, How to Spot a False Flag, a sampler of orchestrated events, has been broadcast over the link, JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. The link, JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. Indeed, whenever you are so inclined, you could visit that link and you could find all five of those shows so far that have been broadcast from 8 to 10 Central. 8 to 10 Central. That's 9 to 11 Eastern. That's 6 to 8 Pacific. Now, that's a pretty good time. So when I was invited to become part of the Real Deal Media, the suggestion was made I should do interview shows like those I do typically on Friday and Sunday, but on Tuesday and Thursday, and at the same time as the Conspiracy Guy show. So beginning next week, on the 2nd of July, Thursday, I will begin with the new show called The Fetz Presents, where I'll be doing interviews with a lot. There will be overlap with a lot of those whom I have interviewed in the past and a lot of new guests as well. So I'll be doing The Fetz Presents on Tuesday and Thursday, and then The Conspiracy Guy on Sunday, all at JimTheConspiracyGuy.com as a URL, all from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern, 6 to 8 Pacific. Now, I have, of course, been covering a lot of news on these shows, typically on Wednesdays. In fact, today will be no exception. But as many of you may be aware, for the last, my goodness, 70 or 80 days, I've been doing a daily news show called Real Deal Reports with Dean Ryan, originally in L.A., now in Austin, and Mike Barrett in Seattle. The Real Deal Reports is a fast-paced, hard-hitting coverage of the news every single day. We did like 65 consecutive days, and then we took a one-day break, and then we, you know, it's going to continue, but at the rate of 5 days a week. So I, with Dean Ryan and Mike Barra, will be continuing Real Deal Reports 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, as well as the other shows I've just described. I have loved being on Revolution Radio. It's been absolutely sensational, and Mitchell has been an exemplary producer. He's done a marvelous job. The callers I have on this show have been spectacular. I have, in fact, mentioned to Mitch several of you that I think would make excellent hosts, new hosts for Revolution Radio. Now, all those sorts of things are in the mix because this is my third to last show. Friday will be my second to last show, and Sunday my last show here on Revolution Radio. And then you will find a couple of days off until Thursday when my first show will begin with a Fetz Presents with an interview on Thursday. And then we'll continue on Tuesdays and Thursdays with a Conspiracy Guy on Sundays, all of them at the same time. Here also, you want to understand, the Conspiracy Guy is live streamed. It goes out over five or six different video streams. The shows are automatically recorded. That means I don't have to go through the process of setting it up with Zoom, doing the recording, downloading the recording, setting it off to have it posted. It's all done automatically. It's important to me to have these shows video when the opportunity presents, because although you would not know unless you actually watched one of the video versions of these shows, I am presenting the evidence. I am presenting the stories I'm talking about. I make PowerPoints for every one of these shows. And therefore, I like to share that with a viewer so they can see my sources and exactly what it is I am talking about. Now, for the benefit of those who may not be here tonight, I will repeat this explanation on Friday and then for the third and last time on Sunday. Let me begin, however, with a protest right here in Madison that took place Sunday. It was really fairly stunning to open the paper and find this very famous statue called Forward, right from the Capitol Square, had been taken down. And in addition, a statue of the abolitionist Hans Christian Hegg was taken down as well. They smashed windows at the State House, assaulted a state senator. I mean, it was completely outrageous. The fact they took down the statue of this, you know, abolitionist, the guy who was opposed to slavery, shows that none of this has a rational basis. This is a totally political movement where you ought to think of Black Lives Matter and Antifa as the paramilitary arm of the Democratic Party. Yes, it's stunning to put it in that context, but believe me, the evidence that that's what's going on is simply overwhelming. Here's a bit of the story. Protesters in Madison targeted Wisconsin State Capitol Tuesday, smashing windows and lights late into the night before around 20 police officers in riot gear. Yeah, it was just last night. The unrest began after Black Lives Matter protester Yeshua Musa, that's not his real name, was arrested after he brought a megaphone and a baseball bat into a restaurant on Capitol Square. He actually walked into a restaurant, was harassing patrons there with a baseball bat over his shoulder and yelling on a megaphone. I mean, my God. Meanwhile, Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter told the paper he was punched after trying to take a picture of protesters. All I did was stop and take a picture, and the next thing I'm getting 5-6 punches, getting kicked in the head. Kicked in the head. Two statues, one of Wisconsin Forward motto and another of the abolitionist Hans Christian Hegg, were targeted and removed from their positions in front of the State House. Hegg's statue was beheaded and thrown into a lake after being rolled through the city. Protesters were condemned as thugs by Republican State Assembly leader Robin Vose, who tweeted, "This is absolutely despicable. I am saddened at the cowardice of Madison officials to deal with these thugs. I could not agree with him more." If and when you see the video version, I have a short clip here I'm going to play of them dragging the statue of this abolitionist. This is a guy who was actively opposing slavery, which they claim to be the reason why they're taking down statues. Persons who had slaves or supported slavery. Well, it's dramatically contradicted by this example. I'm going to play the video clip. It's short. And here you see them. They're the dragging. This is right on Capitol Square. I've been down there all the time with my family. They seem very proud of themselves. I can't tell you how disgusting it is that this is taking place. So there's a video where you can actually see part of what was taking place here. Stunning. Meanwhile, Twitter has flagged another Trump tweet for abusive language after he threatened protesters trying to topple Andrew Jackson's statue outside the White House with serious force. Serious force. Perhaps if he's had serious consequences, legal consequences, the president is most certainly doing the right thing. Another of Trump's tweets was flagged by Twitter Tuesday after he threatened protesters with serious force if they attempted to establish an autonomous zone outside the White House. Twitter deemed the tweet abusive and included a link to its rules and policies pages titled "About Public Interest Exceptions" on Twitter. Meanwhile, here's one of Trump's recent tweets. "There will never be an autonomous zone in Washington, D.C. as long as I'm your president. If they try, they will be met with serious force." Here's another. "I have authorized the federal government to arrest anyone who vandalizes or destroys any monument, statue, or other such federal property in the U.S. with up to 10 years in prison per the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act or other such laws that may be pertinent. Here is the third. This action is taking effective immediately, but may also be used retroactively for destruction or vandalism already caused. There will be no exceptions. Now, what the president means is not that this is a retrospective law, which is, in fact, constitutionally impermissible. He's saying that this act to preserve monuments honoring military veterans has been in place for many years, and it carries a fine and up to 10 years imprisonment as punishment. So it's not that they would be violating a new law. It's that they would have violated a law that's already been on the books. I am dumbfounded that the Democrats are allowing this to take place, but it's because that's their agenda. They believe it's going to benefit them in November. My assessment is for each statue they take down, Trump gains between 10,000 and 100,000 more votes. This is going to massively backfire. The American people have to be as aghast and horrified as am I that these statues are being taken down. It's clearly part of an effort to destroy the cultural identity of the United States. It comes right out of the Marxist playbook. You heard Stephen Francis here, who is an expert on cultural Marxism, talk about it in the past. We have Jack Mullen has been here. He has talked about it a lot, too. And I am emphasizing that is what's going on. This is an attack on the history and the identity of the United States. Trump denounces wave of statue topping. Here we have a photograph. People stand around, take pictures with the statue of Confederate General Albert Pike after it was toppled by protesters at Judiciary Square in Washington on late June 19th. Statues of American historical figures, including two of our founding fathers, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, are being forcefully toppled across the country. A recent escalation, President Donald Trump has explicitly denounced. Statues have been torn down across multiple states. In Portland, Oregon, protesters tore down a statue of Washington on June 18th. Some wrapped the head of the statue in an American flag and then lit it on fire. A Jefferson statue was also toppled in Portland. Protesters in California toppled a statue of Junipero Serra, a Roman Catholic priest, widely regarded as the founder of the religious California missions, which are great landmarks in California, where I was born and raised. In response, the Spanish embassy in Washington issued a series of Twitter posts deeply regretting the destruction of the statue, like to offer a reminder of his great efforts in support of indigenous communities. Vandals in California have taken down statues of Francis Scott Key, who authored our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, and of Ulysses S. Grant, the famed general who helped win the Civil War, bring an end to slavery in the United States. I mean, this is just appalling, and that's not the worst of it. Race activist Sean King, who appears to be one of the primary agitators, called for taking down all statues, murals, and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother. King issued his statement on Twitter to his 1.1 million followers. Tear them down. Yes, he says, I think the statues of the white European they claim is Jesus should also come down. They are a form of white supremacy. Always have been. In the Bible, when the family of Jesus wanted to hide and blend in, guess where they went? Egypt, not Denmark. Tear them down. Well, who the hell is Sean King to be deciding what statues should be up? Those were typically erected at taxpayer expense. Often they actually were funded by Confederate families as monuments to the soldiers who had served in the war. It was part of the process of reconciliation between the North and the South, that the North would erect statues memorializing the role of the great generals of the Confederacy. who are standing up for what they believe was right, technically speaking, the right of the states to secede from the Union, a battle they lost. Meanwhile, Trump, state leaders weak for not protecting monuments. He's got that right. I don't like anything that's going on, Trump told Fox News' Brian Kilsmeade from a longer interview. Federal, I have stopped. Hey, it's going over a bit around the world now. They want to remove the statue of Gandhi. All he wanted was peace. They want to take down Ulysses S. Grant. He's the one who stopped the Confederates, right? He was a great general. Meanwhile, Trump has authorized law enforcement to arrest and prosecute anyone attempting to destroy statues on federal property. President Trump tweeted Tuesday that he has authorized and law enforcement officials to arrest anyone attempting to destroy heroic statues on federal property. The president's declaration comes hours after radical leftists attempted to tear down a statue of Andrew Jackson, which stands in full view of the White House. Trump cited the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act. The act reads in part, "Whoever willfully injures or destroys or attempts to injure or destroy any structure, plaque, statue, or other monument on public property commemorating the service of any person or persons in the armed forces of the United States shall be fined under this title, imprisoned not more than 10 years, or both." Trump said, "I have authorized the federal government to arrest anyone who vandalizes or destroys any monument, statue, or other such federal property in the U.S. with up to 10 years in prison per the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act or such other laws as may be pertinent." The president's message reminds rioters that the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act authorizes a significant penalty for defacing and destroying historic statues on federal property. Now, think about it. These people claim they're objecting to white privilege. White privilege? No white group would be allowed to tear down statues and deface monuments the way these black groups have been allowed to do, looting and burning. Storefronts all over, destroying, massive destruction. Minneapolis looks like a war zone. But the damnable Democrat mayors and governors have taken a hands-off approach as though they had the right to destroy the personal property and the workplace of American citizens who happen to have the misfortune of being residents of their city or of their state. They are gutless gutterfish who have no justification or right to be occupying the offices they hold. They are not administering equal justice under the law. There is no more fundamental principle in the United States under the Constitution than that of equal justice under the law. And if we admit that it's imperfectly administered, we strive to do better. We don't simply make massive exceptions. Now, some of what's been going on, I am convinced, has been the president allowing these Democrats, these mayors and governors, to show their true colors. For example, the Summer of Love in Seattle. I mean, what a manifest absurdity. You let a ragtag group of misfits and ne'er-do-wells and who knows, drug addicts, whatever, to take over six blocks in Seattle? Give me a break. This is about as disgusting as it gets, as repulsive as a political act could be. Meanwhile, what has happened? Well, the situation has deteriorated. They had 4 days in a row, nights in a row of shooting in Shaz, which they also called CHOP. The police couldn't respond. So what has happened? Faced with the growing pressure to crack down on the occupied protest zone following two weekend shootings, Seattle's mayor said Monday that officials will move to wind down the blocks-long span of city streets taken over 2 weeks ago. Mayor Jenny Durkan, whose name will ring in the halls of infamy, said at a news conference that violence was distracting from changes sought by thousands of peaceful protesters seeking to address racial inequality and police brutality. She said the city is working with the community to bring the Capitol Hill occupied protest zone to an end. As justthenews.com John Solomon notes, the announcement was a remarkable turnabout for a Democrat mayor who received significant criticism for allowing rioters and protesters to take control of the neighborhood 2 weeks ago and then suggesting on CNN that Chaz Shop might become the epicenter of a summer of love. Can you believe that? How absurd. After days of peaceful demonstrations, two nights of shootings, and it turned into four, have clearly escalated the situation on Capitol Hill, Durkin's office said. We have been meeting with residents and small business owners whose properties have been defaced, if not demolished, to address their safety and disorder concerns, including the ability of first responders to access emergencies in the area. As many community groups are also urging, the mayor believes individuals can and should peacefully demonstrate, but the message cannot be lost in the violence. Meanwhile, rioters near the White House try to tear down a presidential statue and set up a Black House autonomous zone. Rioters in Washington, D.C. tried to tear down a statue of former President Andrew Jackson near the White House on Monday, while others set up a new autonomous zone nearby. The attack on the Jackson statue came after rioters had destroyed other presidential statues, including of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Ulysses S. Grant. On Sunday, the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, despicably, in my opinion, announced they were removing a statue of Theodore Roosevelt. Meanwhile, police blocked protesters' attempt to tear down Andrew Jackson's statue in Lafayette Square. Four D.C. officers were injured earlier Monday while trying to clear tents near the White House. Meanwhile, two New York City officials sent in police to protect the iconic Columbus statue in Columbus Circle. New York City protesters are targeting the historic Columbus statue in Columbus Circle. Police were sent in on Monday to protect this iconic New York City landmark. The statue was dedicated in 1892. The statue is 62 feet tall. The left wants it down. Meanwhile, in Stuttgart, Germany, looters chant Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, during Stuttgart's worst ever riots that turned the city into a battlefield. As police reveal, those involved were mainly young people with a migration background. That's an awkward way to say that these were immigrants. These were part of the millions who flooded Europe, and you see how they're paying back their gracious hospitality. Looters shouted Allah Akbar as they ransacked shops in Stuttgart on Saturday night, and most of those arrested came from a, quote, migrant background, it has emerged. Mobs attacked police with stones and bottles after a German teenager was arrested for a drug offense in clashes that quickly escalated into the city's worst ever night of rioting. Of the 24 arrested, 12 were foreign nationals. Three of the other 12 were German nationals with a migrant background. Hans-Jürgen Kirsten, the head of the police union, told Bild, the German paper, that young people with a migrant background were at the front of the riots. German Chancellor Angela Merkel condemned the violence as abhorrent even after paramedics were attacked with bottles while trying to help an injured person. Get this. How absurd can you get? Police say there was no sign of political motivation, blaming alcohol in the party scene for the outbreak of violence, though some have linked the riots to the anti-police protests in the United States. I mean, how dumb are we supposed to be? Footage verified by German media showed some of the rioters chanting Allah Akbar, meaning God is great in Arabic, as they ran down a street during the nighttime violence. Muslim blogger Nasir Ahmed condemned the rioters for abusing the phrase, saying it is meant to be not a call to terror, but a call to prayer and peace. Meanwhile, you have photographs here of goods lying on the floor after rioters broke into a shop in Stuttgart. in what police have described as the city's worst ever night of violence. Meanwhile, and this is highly revealing, Black Lives Matter founder admits, "We are trained Marxists. Our goal is to get Trump out." Patrice Couillard, one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, just admitted they are trained Marxists. Their goal is to get Trump out. Colors, "We are super versed on ideological theories of Marxism." Speaking to Jake Tapper on CNN Friday, Couillard, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, said President Trump not only needs to not be in office in November, but that he should resign now. Couillard added she thinks the president is not fit for office and that what the Black Lives Matter organization is going to push for is a move to get Trump out, while we're also going to continue to push and pressure Vice President Joe Biden around his policies in relationship to policing and criminalization. That's going to be important, but our goal is to get Trump out. Well, I got a clue for them. It ain't going to work. Just the opposite. This looting, this rioting is horrifying to suburban families. If they're going to think they're going to appeal to white suburban women, they have no idea, no grasp, no understanding of American politics. Because as I observed in my opening remarks, I believe every one of these disgraceful actions is bringing somewhere between 10,000 and 100,000 more votes to reelect Donald Trump in November. In a resurfaced interview from 2015, Colors responded to a communist colleague who is concerned that there is a lack of ideological direction in Black Lives Matter that would allow it to fizzle out in comparison to Occupy Wall Street. In response, she said the movement does actually have an ideological frame, and that she herself and Alice Garza, one of the other founders, are trained organizers. Meanwhile, in an interesting sign of the growing distance between the Black radical races of the Black Lives Matter defund the police movement and the Democratic Black political establishment in Washington, D.C., Congressional Black Caucus Chairwoman Representative Karen Bass of California earlier this week expressed her distaste for the term defund the police. "I told some friends that's probably the worst slogan ever," she said. Bass is also savvy enough to understand the slogan and its message is political suicide, not just with swing voters, but with Black urban voters who would suffer the most if police departments would lose funding to such a degree they could not fulfill their public safety functions in those sometimes crime-ridden areas. "Police officers are the first to say they are law enforcement officers, not social workers," said the Los Angeles member of Congress. "What we have done in our country is we've not invested in health, social, and economic problems in communities. We leave the police to pick up the pieces. In my city, for example, on any given night, we have over 40,000 people who are homeless. Why should the police be involved with that?" Meanwhile, a fascinating piece by Tom Luongo, which I've republished on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. What does he have to say? "The U.S. is in civil war and why Berman's firing matters." This is the guy who is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, which is the financial area where all the financial crimes take place. Here's what he says. "The U.S. is in a civil war. It began 4 years ago after Donald Trump's election and is finally boiled over into open warfare here in 2020. From the moment the protests against the killing of George Floyd were hijacked into looting and rioting, I worried about this turning into something far greater, something with a far higher purpose. Within a couple of days, it was obvious the U.S. was now the subject of a color revolution of the same type and buildup that occurred in places like Ukraine, Georgia, Egypt, Serbia, and others. And it's pretty clear The color for orb revolution isn't orange or brown or violet. It's black. The questions I have are, why is this happening now? The obvious answer is the full court press to deny Trump a second term. That's a practically stated goal at this point. In fact, you just heard one of the founders of Black Lives Matter declare it explicitly. But I feel this is far deeper than that and likely has to do with knowing that Trump has pieces in place post-Jeffrey Epstein raid murder to upset the deep state's apple cart. The thought line here is that both of these stories attack the heart of the color revolution process, the moneyed interests behind them, useful idiots shooting each other in downtown Seattle or knocking down statues to Thomas Jefferson. Those are not the story. They are the means to power to be discarded, they hope. Useful idiots eventually become useless eaters in any post-Marxist revolution worth discussing. But for the people who foment these things, they have to start with laying the groundwork. And the stronger the local cultural institutions and local economic power, the longer and harder they have to work to undermine it. The U.S. has been under constant attack this way since even before World War II. Going back to Comintern, which never ended, it just morphed into today's NGOs. Trump and Orban represent leaders who understand this problem explicitly and are trying to dismantle the apparatus arrayed against them. Let's start with the Southern District of New York. It is close to the most lawless place in the world for all practical purposes, because the highest crimes committed there, those of finance and systemic looting by the banks who are financiers of the Davos crowd's push for transnational control, go unpunished. Headline-grabbing fines, which are 0.1% of the money and power stolen by Wall Street, is not effective government oversight. Regulatory capture is real. And the Southern District of New York is the poster child. For those wanting Trump to make good on his promises to drain the swamp, the Southern District of New York is the source of the swamp's lifeblood, money. It allows the worst crimes to go unpunished, fueling the Marxist rants of the Occupy Wall Street crowd who have morphed into Black Lives Matter and are actively moving toward open warfare with the U.S. government. That, I think, is a very nice piece where you can read it in detail on my blog. Meanwhile, we had another absurd case of an alleged hate crime that was nothing such, very much on the order of the Jussie Smollett event in Chicago, where Jussie Smollett, who's an actor on this television program, Fame, as I recall, hired his personal trainer and an extra on the set, who are Nigerian bodybuilders, to stage an attack on him at 2 a.m. when he was leaving a subway on the coldest night Chicago had experienced in years, carrying a bottle of bleach and a noose. Now, just think about how absurd it is. These, of course, were supposed to be rednecks. But even if you suppose they were rednecks and not hit these Nigerian brothers whom he paid with a personal check, if you can believe that, what would rednecks be doing walking around Chicago at 2 a.m. in the morning with a bottle of bleach, which, by the way, at the temperature prevailing then would have been frozen solid, and a noose? Just absurd. And, of course, it turns out Jussie Smollett just happens to be the nephew of Kamala Harris, who just happened to be pushing a bill, a new anti-lynching law with Cory Booker, and could use a little PR boost. So a stage manager. Well, we got something equally ridiculous. FBI says noose in black NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace's garage was a door pull rope that had been there since October of 2019. The noose found hanging in Bubba Wallace's garage stall at Talladega Super Speedway had been there since at least last fall, federal authorities said Tuesday. Actually, it appears they were in all of the garages ever since they were built. They announced that video surveillance footage from NASCAR confirmed it was a garage door pull rope styled like a noose that had been hanging from at least October 2019 to pull down the garage door. And this noose, by the way, was tied inside. You could get your hand through it, but it couldn't possibly fit around a person's neck. This is just absurd beyond belief. So here you got this. We didn't see photos of the noose initially, no doubt, because it would have been obvious it was such a joke. And nevertheless, you had all these parties rallying around poor Bubba because of a hate fine that was a total fabrication. Here I'm showing a photograph where you can see what it looks like. Obviously, it would have been impossible, to have hung anyone from that little hand rope to pull down the garage door. I mean, this is stupid, stupid beyond belief. Here's a note from NASCAR. We are thankful there was no one involved in perpetrating hate during this weekend's race. Just like the rest of the NASCAR garage, we were shocked and appalled to learn of the existence of a rope fashioned like a noose. One of our employees alerted us yesterday morning that without knowing the details of the incident, he recalled seeing a tied handle in the garage pull-down rope from last fall. We immediately alerted NASCAR and have assisted in the investigation in every way possible. What transpired over the past day plus is a unity that has only served to strengthen the bonds between each and every crew member, fan and non-fan alike. The Wood Brothers organization, and this actually therefore appears to come from the sponsors of this Bubba fellow, is proud to stand with Bubba Wallace and the entire industry as we work to make every race fan a part of our NASCAR family. Here's the actual NASCAR statement itself. The FBI has determined, has completed its investigation at Talladega Superspeedway and determined that Bubba Wallace was not the target of a hate crime, which he himself had to know from the beginning. The FBI report concludes and photographic evidence confirms that the garage door pull rope, fashioned like a noose, had been positioned there since as early as last fall. It was obviously well before the 43 teams arrived in garage assignment. We appreciate the FBI's quick and thorough investigation and are thankful to learn that this was not an intentional racist act against Bubba. We remain steadfast in our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all who love racing. I mean, give me a break. Everyone there who saw would have known that this wasn't a noose. This was a hand grab to pull down a garage door. Meanwhile, and this is rather fascinating, appeals court orders dismissal of criminal case against Michael Flynn. A federal appellate court on Wednesday ordered the dismissal of the criminal case against President Donald Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn. The U.S. Circuit Court of Appeal for the District of Columbia said in a 2-1 ruling that the Justice Department's decision to abandon the case against Flynn settles the matter. Even though Flynn pled guilty to lying to prosecutors in special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation, actually did not do so under oath, and it was all a setup anyway. And we have the notes from the FBI now, which say they were there to set him up. U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan had declined to immediately dismiss the case, seeking instead to evaluate on his own the department's unusual dismissal request. Actually, he has all the evidence. He's a Democrat appointee. He wants to drag it out because it embarrasses the Democrats who brought this charge against him. I mean, it's just absurd. He appointed a retired federal judge to argue against the Justice Department's position and to consider whether Flynn could be held in criminal contempt for perjury, which he could not. Flynn was the only White House official charged in Mueller's investigation into ties between the Trump campaign and Russia, which, of course, have fallen apart. But here I have, if you were looking at the video, if you're looking at the video, a panoply of all the parties who were involved in the whole Russia hoax and were behind this corruption of the FBI and the Department of Justice, Hillary Clinton at the center of it all, but including Barack Obama, Loretta Lynch, James Comey, Sally Yates, Andrew McCabe, Bruce and Nellie Orr, Lisa Page, Peter Stroke, Glenn Simpson, Bill Priestap. I mean, it's all absurd. It's all been displayed. I even have a book about it. Meanwhile, if you want to hear the latest absurdity, and there are two, both coming out of Oregon. Oregon County issues face mask order that exempts non-white people. Now, listen to this. Oregon County issues face mask order that exempts non-white people. Now, that's obviously racially discriminatory. This is on its face unconstitutional. This is a blatant legal absurdity, but that's what they're doing in Oregon. Lincoln County, Oregon, has exempted non-white people from a new order requiring that face coverings be worn in public to prevent racial profiling. What? Health officials announced last week residents must wear face coverings in public settings where they may come within 6 feet of another individual who is not from the same household. By the way, I've reported many times now, confirmed by the latest report from Switzerland, the research report, which is also on my blog, that social distancing, face masks, staying at home are not useful. They don't make a difference. If anything, they are harmful. Do a little research. You'll find the harm that is imposed by face masks. I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? You're being required to recirculate the air that you simply just exhale. Now, the reason you were exhaling the air is because it had been depleted of oxygen, which was absorbed by your red blood cells, so it could carry to the various cells of your body, including of your brain. By recycling, you are depleting the oxygen level of your red blood cells and thereby depriving the cells of your body of the oxygen they need. This is killing brain cells. I am projecting that by the end of this coronavirus political pandemic, that the average IQ of Americans will have dropped by an average of 5 points. 5 points. Continuing this new absurd move. People of color do not have to follow the new rule if they have, quote, heightened concerns about racial profiling and harassment over wearing the mask. I don't get it. No person shall intimidate or harass people who do not comply. Well, that would certainly, one would have assumed, include white people who don't comply. With mask requirements becoming more common, activists have raised concern that the directives could put non-white people in danger. Why? For many black people, deciding whether or not to wear a bandana in public to protect themselves and others from contracting coronavirus is a lose-lose situation that can result in life-threatening consequences either way. Renika Moore, director of the ACLU's racial justice program, told CNN. Trevon Logan, who is black, said orders to wear face coverings are basically telling people to look dangerous given racial stereotypes that are out there. I mean, this is simply absurd. This is in the larger context of black men fitting the description of a suspect who has a hood on, who has a face covering on, said Logan, an economic professor at Ohio State University, who is a complete and total moron. Meanwhile, we have had the reports as recently as April 7th from the World Health Organization saying there's no need for healthy people to wear face masks, just days after the CDC told Americans to cover their faces. This is how absurd it's become. From the Swiss study, which you can find on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Number 17, there is also no scientific evidence for the effectiveness of face masks in healthy or asymptomatic individuals. On the contrary, experts warn that such masks interfere with normal breathing, and may become germ carriers. Leading doctors call them a media hype and ridiculous. Leading doctors called wearing face masks ridiculous. Meanwhile, on April 6th, the World Health Organization released a new guidance saying healthy people don't need to wear face masks to prevent coronavirus spread. Masks should be for the sick, their caretakers, and healthcare workers, the WHO guidance said. Scientists and public health organizations can't agree on the best face mask protocol, and the WHO guidelines go against the CDC's own face mask recommendation. This is all completely absurd. But if you thought that was the end of the idiocy of Oregon, no, I have something new for you. Get this. I mean, I'm just dumbfounded. Oregon emergency bill would suspend due process amid COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, this is as blatantly unconstitutional as any act could be. Unbelievable. Oregon Governor Kate Brown, Democrat of Portland, who must be a cretin, convened the Oregon legislature into emergency session on Wednesday, which is expected to last 2 or 3 days. The agenda has several bills, including House Bill 4212. That bill includes a clause written by Martha Walters, the Chief Justice of Oregon Supreme Court, at the request of Brown. This clause will allow Walters to suspend due process for up to 60 days if she deems it necessary during the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you believe this? The governor asked the Chief Justice to write a clause to allow the Chief Justice to suspend due process in the state of Oregon if the Chief Justice deems it necessary in the response to COVID-19. I mean, this is just pure idiocy. I mean, I'm telling you, the Democrats have just fallen completely apart. I mean, this is below moronic. This is beneath plain idiocy. This is the action of imbeciles. Instead of the legislature reining Governor Brown in after her illegal orders under the coronavirus protection pandemic, they have proposed to expand the emergency powers of state government. They're totally given back after the emergency ends, though, of course. The relevant sections of the bill in bold don't pass constitutional muster, but will probably pass anyway. A point I've made many, many times during these shows is that the problem with these unconstitutional bills is the mischief that takes place between the time the bills that are blatantly unconstitutional pass and the time they're subjected to constitutional scrutiny and rejected. That's when all the mischief takes place. Get this. Authorizes Chief Justice of Supreme Court during emergency period and for 60 days thereafter, and upon finding of good cause, to extend or suspend time period or time requirement in rule or statute in specific court proceedings. Authorizes presiding judge of circuit court to extend custody and postpone trials upon finding of good cause and within specified limits. Authorizes Chief Justice to direct or permit electronic court appearances. Extends time to commence civil action or give notice of civil claim if expiration of time falls within emergency period or within 60 days after end of emergency period. Immunizes owner, officer, employer, operator, employee, or agent of isolation shelter or public entity from civil liability that is predicated on claim of illness, injury, or death from COVID-19. Exempts from immunity conduct that constitutes gross negligent malice or fraud, that is, willful, intentional, or reckless, that is, criminal, or that is unrelated to COVID-19. Requires Director of Department of Consumer and Business Services to adopt temporary and permanent rules establishing emergency temporary infectious disease standards. Directs Oregon Health Authority to adopt rules regarding race and ethnicity data collection by healthcare providers, declares emergency effective on passage. Wow. Meanwhile, as I've been reported, here's an update. the miserable pseudoscience behind face masks, social distancing, and contact tracing. Once upon a time, there was something called science. It included the discovery of truth about nature, the elements, the universe, etc. It was practiced by honest and accountable practitioners called scientists and engineers. They often invented cool new things as a result of their studies, but generally they had no primal urge to use their knowledge to dominate other people, groups, or even entire societies. Then certain other scientists and engineers rose up and made a discovery of their own. If true science was ever so slightly skewed and engineering disciplines were applied to society at large, then they could indeed use their knowledge to dominate and control other people, groups, entire societies, or even, heaven forbid, the entire planet. Now, think Dr. Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci. Think Bill Gates, dawn of a medical mafia. The first group pursued science, the second, pseudoscience. Merriam-Webster defined pseudoscience as a system of theories, assumptions, and methods erroneously regarded as scientific. The Oxford Dictionary says a collection of beliefs or practices misleadingly regarded as being based on scientific method. Well, that happens to be an area of my specialization, right? I have a PhD in the history and the philosophy of science. I'm an expert on scientific reasoning. Multiple of my books are directly on the principles of scientific reasoning or involve their application. Indeed, I have been pioneering the application of the principles of scientific reasoning to these controversial and complex events like JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Charlottesville, Parkland, and so forth. Which is what I'm pursuing on the Conspiracy Guy now, Sundays, 8 to 10 Central Time. Pseudoscience quickly emerged as the principal domain of technocrats, but they soon found that scientific debate with those promoting real science was most inconvenient to their social engineering goals. Their solution was simple. Pseudoscience was indeed the real science and refused debate by excluding all other voices to the contrary. The context of pseudoscience, of course, has been dominant here with the COVID pandemic, where even Tony the Rat knew that HCQ was a wonder drug for coronavirus but refused to admit it. We'll be right back and we'll take your calls.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and also the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Please leave your message for...
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Let me announce the phone number for those who may not have it at hand. 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. And my very astute producer, Mitchell, will get you on. Meanwhile, we already have a call here from Giuseppe. I'm delighted you're here. Giuseppe, join the conversation.
Well, Professor, three shows to go. I guess I'm going down with the Fed's panic.
I'm going to continue simply in a different arrangement, Giuseppe, and I'm hoping that you'll come along with me to these new shows, which are going to be at a better time, in my opinion. I mean, 8 to 10 Central, 9 to 11 Eastern, 6 to 8 Pacific, and regular, you know, on Tuesday, Thursday, and then Sunday with a conspiracy guy. And I hope everyone will go to jimtheconspiracyguy.com and check out the five shows I already have there. I mean, these are very comprehensive. They're very detailed. And they're averaging about 133 slides, including the short video clips, and running about an hour and 45 so I can take questions from the chat room, where I invite members of the chat room to put their questions in caps. When I do these interview shows, we will be taking callers the second hour, and you'll be able to call in. It will simply be set up so that my guest and I will be automatically live streamed video over like five different channels, and it will automatically be recorded. I mean, there are a lot of practical and other benefits. I have personally found this 5 to 7 Central time slot very awkward for me. I mean, you know, just in terms of meals and so forth and family planning. So the 8 to 10 is much, much better for me personally. And I think, you know, we'll continue to put out a very high-quality product.
Oh, no, I was just joking. Of course, I've been a fan of yours for years, going all the way back to the early YouTube days. And one question and then a couple observations about what you covered in the first hour is, are you going back to working with the Canadian guy, or are you just using that name from the old days?
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, Chance George, brilliant guy. No. This is a new operation. But where I'm hopeful that we will, as a part, be able to rebroadcast those old shows, you know, as a special opportunity. You know, I mean, there are a lot of things that are going on. This is still in its initial stages. Where I am, you know, the Real Deal Reports has been tremendously successful and gathered a following from all over the world, Giuseppe. And those have been,
I know.
Yeah, those have been pre-recorded. And so that's going to be like the mainstay of the new Real Deal Media, the Real Deal Reports. Those are 5 days a week covering the news. So it's really not important that I should be on my own show covering the news once a week, since we're doing it every single day and therefore can keep up with the latest developments in a far more prompt and responsible fashion. So I'll just be doing these two interview shows on Tuesday and Thursday, and then the conspiracy guy on Sunday. But also, as you know, I, with Dean Ryan and Mike Barra, do the Real Deal reports every single day.
I know, I'm a regular viewer. Really enjoy the camaraderie and the banter. And it's funny that Mike Barra is a sharp guy in so many ways, and then he puts on the old horse blinders in some key areas, and he wants to take you on. And that's
I know. I mean, I welcome it, you know. I say lots of luck. I mean,
exactly.
For God's sake,
exactly.
As you know, I do my homework. I don't make any assertions I haven't researched and cannot prove. So, the biggest appears to be for him that he actually published a book where he was claiming we actually had gone to the moon. So we're going to see. I'm hoping he's at least going to review all the evidence I laid out in that second program, which was, what was it? Let me see, the 31st of May. Yeah, the moon landing hoax, how we know we didn't go. I mean, that was very thorough. But I didn't use all my ammunition. I mean, if he wants to put together a piece attempting to rebut what I have to say, then, of course, I will reply. So, I mean, I value this intellectual exchange, you know, at a relatively high level is difficult to come by in the USA today.
No doubt. Well, I think he's enough of a man that when you give him a good butt kicking, he'll take it like a man.
We shall see, my friend. Giuseppe, why don't you stand by here, because I want to get your ongoing comments while I bring in a couple of others. I got Dave in the 909 area code. Dave, go ahead in the conversation.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, couple things here. Did you know that the Power Hour got dropped because you were on McCanny's show the other day? Rince dropped you?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, James McCanny was guest hosting, and of course I featured him here.
Right.
It was a Jeff Rince thing.
What is the deal with him? Is he going through menopause or what?
Hang on a minute. It was a Jeff Rince thing. I embarrassed him a couple of years ago when I left his show. I've had 8 or 9 radio programs. The only one, and I was already committed when I discovered this belatedly, that ask you to pay to be on the air is Rince. Rince gets money from its various hosts.
And I didn't know that.
I was not only covering my own show, I was covering for Shell Game with Scott Bennett and Michael J. Anderson. And it was just a little much for me financially. And when I explained to him, when I discovered I had the opportunity to come here to Revolution Radio, I explained to Jeff 2 weeks in advance, because, you know, that's appropriate professionally, so he could line up something. He got so pissed off that he not only would not let me come on to finish up the month for which I'd already paid, but he dropped Scott and Michael J. as well, which was, you know, purely out of spite. I mean, they might also cover them. You know, Rince, I'm sorry. I used to think he was a pretty good guy. He went bananas over Las Vegas. He thinks people were really shot there when it was a movie. I mean,
I heard that show. Yeah.
It's embarrassingly bad. I mean, I'm anticipating something very different when Mike Barron wants to defend having gone to the moon. But when we did not have the propulsion power, when we didn't have the computing power, when we didn't have the communication capacity, when we couldn't have navigated the Van Allen radiation belt, where even a spokesman for NASA a few years ago admitted the principal obstacle to manned missions to Mars was the Van Allen radiation belt, forgetting that we allegedly had already passed through them successfully in 1969-70. An admission from NASA itself that we didn't go. I mean, I'll be interested to see what Mike has to come up with. But, I learned about that in retrospect. See, James McCanny had me on Actually, the 2 hours were really terrific. I mean, they're archived. You can find them archived.
I heard it. It was a great show.
Yeah. Good.
Couple things, because I don't want to hog up too much time, but blind, and I tried to get to JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, and I can't access that site. Is there any other place where you're going to be able to be heard somewhere where I might have better access?
I don't understand why you shouldn't be able to access it.
I use a screen reader, you know, because I can't see it. So a screen reader it's got to comply with the screen reader that I use. Apparently, it doesn't for some reason.
That's very funny. I'm not quite sure what to say about that.
Is there any other place, any other website where I can hear it?
Not at present. I mean, it's live stream. You see, that show is live stream over, you know, 5 or 6 different video channels, including YouTube. But YouTube is
like, okay, that's what I was wondering. So I could get it on YouTube.
You ought to be able to, but you know, they have censored so much of my stuff. I mean, these social media platforms have gone completely political and you know.
One more thing, and I'll leave you alone. So the last week you were talking about the calamity from the air, all these Black Hawk helicopters and all that, and everybody's going to get shot and killed. What the hell happened?
Nothing. It didn't come to pass. It was going to be on the summer solstice, the 21st. It didn't happen. Oli Domegard blew up a massive NATO operation that would have been like in 5 different countries by talking about it and doing interviews about it in advance, including one with me, and it didn't come to pass. And NATO had to have an emergency meeting of their secretaries of defense of the various nations to figure what to do next. And, you know, sometimes when the word gets out, it's just going to be too embarrassing if it goes forward, because everyone's going to realize in retrospect it was planned in advance. I can't explain it. I can only tell you we got that report and we shared it, but obviously we weren't in the position to know whether or not it would actually come to pass. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy it didn't happen, but what was your source for that?
Oh, I'd have to go back and check it. I think that might or might not have been Mike Bearer had come up with that one. I'd have to go back and check it out. Okay. You'll find that was in Real Deal Reports. But I mean, it was fairly extensive. It was a Twitter post that was then deleted, but someone had captured it. You go back and you can check it out. I'll go back.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Go back to the Real Deal Report for 20 June. That should be when we were covering it.
Okay. I appreciate it. I love your show, man. I always love your information, whether it's spot on or not.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks very much.
You're
welcome. We've got 510 area code. Danny, join the conversation.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Fetzer. How are you today, sir?
Good, very good, Danny. Always glad to hear from you, my friend.
Yep, I'm just calling in today. You wanted to talk, I believe you wanted to discuss some of the information on the Atlanta shooting. Was that correct?
Well, Danny, you had sent me in Skype links to about 5 different stories, so I was hoping you might give us a condensed version of what you had discovered, you know, as a follow-up. So I'd be glad if you laid that on us.
Yeah, you know, I just want to get into a little bit of the pandering that's going on with many of these stories of the white police officer brutality or shooting or killings of, you know, black suspects, I guess. We'll leave it at that. What I noticed as I've been through this whole event, this Atlanta event and the George Floyd event, extensively looking at basically every piece of evidence that I could get my hands on, I've noticed that there's some amazing anomalies taking place and also omission of facts, which I believe you would refer to it as omission of facts. And some of the things I sent you to prop up these omission of facts by the district attorney, the people putting on these events, would be, for instance, the district attorney, Fox News had a group of people on that were speaking about the event, and there was a chief of police from Inglewood, California, and he played the video that we all saw that was over an hour long. And what he did is he had a spliced copy of the video that he was posting, and he just kept talking about how wonderful and cordial that Rayshon Brooks was, and that it was completely the police officer's fault that let this get out of hand. He also admitted the fight, omitted the fight, did not talk about the fight, how the officer was punched in the face a few times. He didn't talk about the taser going off or the struggle. He only focused on the first part where they were questioning him, and he completely obscured the whole entire event on national television. It was extremely, extremely disgusting. There was also another attorney that was on, a defense attorney, that did the exact same thing. And when they asked him a question about the taser, he wouldn't even answer the question about the taser. He went off on a tangent on another subject, just saying that white police officers were racist towards black people. And that happened on all the networks, guest after guest after guest. And I sent you many of those videos. And it was just disgusting to see the lies to prop up the whole operation.
Yes, yes, yes. All very good points, Danny. Very good points. By the way, a supporter of mine, Michael Ivey, has created a BitChute archive of the shows so that Dave, if he can't reach Jim the Conspiracy Guy, could find them there. I'm asking him if there's a simple way, because I actually have the URL. It's bitchute.com/channel, bitchute.com/channel, all lowercase, capital RBTROP 3R, capital R. I can't tell if it's, I think it's IZI. I'll see if I can get clarification from Michael, because there is I'll send it to Mitchell. I'm going to give Mitchell this link, and he can probably read it easier than can I, because Dave, you can actually find it there. You can actually find it there. It's a Jim Fetzer channel on BitChute. There are awful lot of my shows are also on BitChute under Gus Chambers. Gus Chambers has been archiving my shows for 5 years or more. So if you go to BitChute/, Gus Chambers, you'll find a whole lot of them. But that's under Gus Chambers' name. The other, I believe, you'll find under my name, Jim Fetzer, also at BitChute. So I'm very glad that Michael reminded me. Yes, of course. I mean, how could it slip my mind? Dave, you can find them there. I hope you're within the sound of my voice. Danny, is there any more you'd like to add? I mean, all this is so shabby. All this is so contrived. All of this is so manipulative.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Fetzer, just, you know, like you always say, you know, the evidence is in the details, and the details on these stories matter. And you could tell when they put them together, in a way that the average person that only watches it on television for 5 or 10 minutes can be completely manipulated and lied to. And I could give you a couple other facts. For instance, like the district attorney in Georgia, the same district attorney is handling the Aubrey, the jogger case, if you will. And that case is being completely manipulated. 2 weeks prior to that, the district attorney, to remind everybody, gave a press conference explaining to the press why when a felon uses violence on a police officer, uses his taser, his baton, or any of his other tools against him, how it is deadly force. They completely omitted this, and they're trying to actually hide this video at this point. And then there's one other piece that I have discovered recently that I didn't get to talk about on your last show, Dr. Fetzer, but is extremely, extremely significant. Would you like me to go over that piece of evidence that I discovered?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
In the raw footage, and this is very important, okay, in the raw footage of the shooting, it's an hour and 20 minutes long, maybe an hour and 30 minutes long. I find that most people have probably not seen it. They don't watch it. But in the aftermath in the parking lot, there's confusion everywhere. There's officers all over the place that are showing up asking each other, what happened here? Does anybody know what's going on? Who got shot? It's very interesting that they're all showing up to the scene. They don't know the officer. They don't know what happened. I just find that extremely hard to believe when they're all in the same briefing room before they go out on their shift. And then at the end, there's a supervisor that comes up to the officer that did the shooting. They're making some small talk. He leaves his body camera on, and he says, I need to get it to my back to my car because I have my wallet. I have all my stuff in the car. And the supervisor just kind of tells him, hey, don't worry about the car. I'll send somebody after it. They would never leave, Dr. Fetzer, an uncontrolled police car sitting in a scene like that with the weapons that are in the car, all the stuff that's in the car. His wallet was in there, his ID. They would not do that. He had the keys in his pocket. They're not just going to leave the car like that. That made absolutely no sense. They also showed the drive, and this is the most important part, I think. They showed the drive when the officer gets in the car with the supervisor, and they take a drive back to what's called Atlanta Police Department. And during that drive, they make some very interesting small talk, and they don't talk anything about the incident at all, which I find very interesting. This is his supervisor. You'd think there'd be some discussion, but they're literally talking about other things that have nothing to do with the event that they just both went through. Nothing to do. When they get to the police station, they pull into an underground parking garage. So the camera shows out the windshield when they pull up to this garage. It's all made out of concrete. It's a concrete structure. When they park the car, okay, they park near an elevator, the camera swings around when they get out of the car. There are no police vehicles. There are no marked vehicles anywhere in the parking lot. All you see is civilian cars and civilian vehicles everywhere. Toyota Priuses, commute cars, different things like that. You don't see any Crown Victorias. You don't see any police cars with any logos anywhere to be seen in this full pan that they do with a camera. They end up parking right by an elevator, and they go and get in the elevator. When they get in the elevator is stripped clean. There's nothing in it indicating they're inside of an elevator that's in a police station. There's no bulletin boards. There's nothing. It looks like a public elevator. It does not look like an elevator that would inside of a police station. Once they get up to the floor of the police station, when they get up, there is no lobby. They pop out on a floor where there's nothing in the hallway. The hallways and the walls are stripped bare. There's no recognition posters. There's no bulletin boards. There's no dry erase boards. There's no logos. I mean, it is stripped clean. There's nothing on the walls. It's completely barren, and there's a few doorways in the hallway. The supervisor goes to open a few of those doors, and they're locked, and he cannot even enter some of the rooms. And the camera, this is captured by the body camera. He finally finds a door that's open after checking a few doors. Keep in mind, all the walls are stripped clean. There's no paraphernalia that says Atlanta PD. None of the things that you would see in a hallway in a police station. Okay, that's not what it looks like inside a police station. When he finally finds a door he can enter, okay, he goes into the door, and there's a radio mount or a radio rack. The officer removes and puts his battery pack away, and then the video cuts out. And I could tell you right now, it looks more like a regular office building than a police station. It is definitely a very strange scene.
Danny, you've done such wonderful work on all of these. And, of course, we know now that George Floyd was a completely fabricated event. It was like a magic act by way of distraction where they put George in one side of the door into the police vehicle, which ought then to have been the occasion for driving him to the precinct to be booked and mugshot. And instead, they take him out the other side, except George is lying on the floor when what they take out the other side is a mannequin that has no legs. And as I've shown in a video, you can actually see what the mannequin looked like, exactly like the guy who was there on the ground. I mean, it's embarrassingly bad, Danny. And you made important contributions to sorting that one out. you and Dick Nick Kohlerstrom, with whom I did an interview too. Let me repeat, by the way, that, you know, for the sake of Dave and others, yes, you can find my shows on BitChute. There's a Jim Fetzer channel that is just, it's wonderful. And that done put up there on BitChute, it has quite a few shows. I mean, I'm going to guess maybe my 50 most recent shows, something like that. And then Gus Chambers, also on BitChute. Gus Chambers has maybe, I don't know, 500, you know, shows. But they're not completely in sync. I think because Gus has sometimes had to, you know, be distracted from uploading, and where Michael and Larry have picked up and kept the ball rolling. So, Dave, let me emphasize, you want to go to Jim Fetzer on BitChute and poke around. You ought to be able to find them all. And especially look for Jim Fetzer, the conspiracy guy, because if you can't get it directly by going to jimtheconspiracyguy.com, which may be, for all I know, being shadow banned, I mean, that wouldn't be surprising. It seems the deep state is very disenchanted with my work, and therefore they're doing all they can to suppress it, just as at Moonrock Books, where we published 12 volumes, they have banned 6 of the volumes I have edited, where I brought together experts to dissect what happened at Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, and even the moon landing. Okay, we got Barb. Barb from Lakeland, please join the conversation, Barb.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Fetzer. Our county here, Palm Beach County, yesterday voted to keep masks on, the face masks. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about it. We have 7 commissioners, 1 Republican, 6 Democrats. And the motion was made, you know, to keep the masks on. The guy who made the motion wanted it for a year.
How ridiculous. But,
the
intelligence of, you said it's Palm Beach? The average IQ in your county is going to drop precipitously because it's killing brain cells. I mean, this is just incredibly stupid, Barb, incredibly stupid.
Well, they ended up compromising at 4 months. The one Republican proposed 30 days, but that didn't fly. But what I wanted to mention, Dr. Fetzer, is there were 55 people to speak. They each got 2 minutes. And there were some beautiful presentations. I didn't go. I watched it online. But I sent in Dr. Blaylock's report, you know, about the hypoxia from the mask. And a lot of people came in with good statistics and our constitutional rights. And there were only 4 or 5 that spoke in favor of the masks. And the rest of the folks all gave beautiful presentations. In fact, you probably could find it online at pbcgov.com and then, you know, search around Board of Commissioners or something, because they do put the recordings, I think, online, pbcgov.com. But it was quite...
Barb, you can see it's totally political. This is another instance of pseudoscience. They're not paying attention to the facts. They don't know their a-hole from their elbow, to put it kindly. I mean, this is just embarrassingly bad. And you can see that the Democrats, you know, predominating, they're not going to be affected by facts. Their minds are made up, and they don't want to be bothered with them. I mean, it's just unreal. But this is the way it is with the Democratic Party today, Barb. Honest to God, I swear, every statue that goes down, it's another 10,000 to 100,000 votes for reelecting the president.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barb. Real pleased you're here.
All righty.
I want to come back to Giuseppe and then bring in Paul. Giuseppe, you have a few thoughts to add?
Yes, I do. One of the most compelling, going back to the moon landing conundrum, is one of the NASA scientists, experts, is publicly recorded saying, well, we destroyed that technology, so we can't go there anymore.
I know, is that idiotic? I mean, that's stupid. My favorite recent reputation is the space poop problem. NASA actually offered $30,000 to anyone who could help them solve their space poop problem, which was that the present space diapers they had could only handle 14 hours of waste. Well, the trips to the moon and back took 7 or 8 days, which shows the whole moon travel agenda was nothing but a massive pile of space poop.
Right. And then getting back to the hour one topic about all this madness with these weak-minded lemmings in Antifa, it kind of reminds me of a metaphor of a factory, which is the Antifa are the factory workers, the Democrats are the shop managers, the middlemen, and then the globalist Zionist Bolshevik kosher sandwich parasites are the owners who are funding it all, dictating it all. And that's just so disturbing. It, you know, when will people wake up that the real solution to this is to take the bankers and their enormous power off the board, the ones who have committed and funded wars? Well, they're guilty of war crimes, should be quickly tried and hanged, and the rest should be stripped of their wealth and put on a kibbutz in Israel to live out their days, tending the gardens and such. And it's just insane that a few thousand, at best, psychopathic parasites are controlling the world and are trying very hard right now to destroy our world, which is a decent nationalistic country where we have a middle class, where we have a working class. And the joke of all these weak-minded protesters is that instead of tearing down things, why don't they go and burn down Bill Gates's house? And why don't they demand that the billions, hundreds of billions he's put into this genocidal vaccine program, why didn't that money go to a jobs program and teaching people in the impoverished to grow their own organic food and feed their children organically, so that vital first through 5 years of development and nutrition really gives them a leg up? So it's just insane that we're witnessing this silly Bolshevik. It's just the 21st century Bolshevik game plan, same thing they did in the 1913-1917 time frame.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna work, but that's certainly what they're trying. Paul from California, join us, Paul.
God damn the Van Allen radiation belt. We could have made it in our aluminum titanium tin can if it wasn't for the damn Van Allen radiation belt. And now Giuseppe owes me another $5 because he said kosher sandwich. I said that most sure. I think we had an arrangement, if I'm not mistaken. You know, the I think the 5-point IQ drop would help me. I mean, if it applies to Giuseppe, because I could close that gap. You know, I think he's about 250.
Well, but Paul,
he's about
but
250,
Paul,
and I'm about 245.
It would be affecting you too. So you just, you know, you maintain the relative disparity.
Now, Jim, I'm going to flunk you out of logic class. How could it affect me too if I don't wear a mask? It's only affecting the mask wearer.
Oh, if you don't wear a mask. Oh, I get it, Paul. Very, very good. You think it, I mean, if Giuseppe's wearing the mask and you're not, I get it. Very good. Very good. Very good.
So on a serious note, see, this mask wearing, in my opinion, is one of the most crucial issues I've seen in decades, okay? If we cannot defeat this or defy this, in my opinion, it does not bode well for the future. Because the amount of cucking and cooperation you see, especially in California, I don't know what Florida is like, but it's absolutely insane. I have now been, in the last 2 months, I've had 5 major incidents. I had 4 until the other day, and then a 5th. Out of those 5 major incidents, 2 of them could have been, if I wanted to pursue it or they wanted to pursue it, it could have been a fist fight. And it's not anything to do with a mayor or city council or governor or anything else, because they're nowhere around. It's other people. It's citizens. And in the other 3 cases, with me, it was like warehouse manager and assistant store manager and a store manager. And even after I schooled them about, hey, okay, it doesn't apply to me. I'm exempt, medical exemption, you know, asthma, bronchial irritation, whatever. They still pushed it. And this one guy, even after I schooled him, now, to, you know, I guess as an excuse for him, he was probably an 85 IQ indigenous Stone Age descendant Hispanic. And I said to him, listen, dude, the county doesn't exist. It's a legal fiction, okay? You can't shake hands with the county. I can't meet the county, okay? It's just me and you, all right? And they don't have any power to tell us to do anything. The governor can't order anybody to do anything except a government employee. That's the way it works. They're all corporations. And Barb, just for your own edification, if you want to go on to Sophia Smallstorm's website about this guy, there's an article, several videos, and an article right now about how no governor or no mayor can order anybody to wear a face mask. They don't have that kind of power. I mean, all the executive can do is sign a law that's been passed by the legislature. Their orders only apply to government employees, and they don't have to apply to them if the government employees want to claim the medical exemption. So it's all hard.
Well, that's wonderful, Paul. Wonderful. Stand by, Paul, while I bring in Mike, also from California. Mike, join the conversation.
Yeah, hi. I was going to add a couple things because I was earlier this afternoon. I happened to be on Yahoo, and there was a report that Newsom said that new quote unquote infections rose over 40% in the last 24 hours. But obviously, it's
the proof of that?
99% of it's because they're testing more people.
Yeah.
And it's such a bunch of bullshit that
they're failing to differentiate between persons who might have coronavirus but are asymptomatic, meaning they're not actually sick, and people who have coronavirus and have the symptoms. It's ubiquitous. Every one of these news reports fails to make that distinction.
It's so ridiculous. You read the article and it makes such a big you read the article and it makes such a big deal about it. And then you read his tweet. His tweet says, in the last 14 days, California's conducted over 1 million tests with a positivity rate of 5%.
What a lie. That's a lie. Hey, Mike, what part of California are you in?
Just on the very eastern part of the Bay Area.
Okay. Yeah, so you're seeing the same thing I'm seeing. And have you also seen
these articles
that I've seen?
It's ridiculous.
They're using a new term now, and Jim, you may have seen this or not. Not just asymptomatic. I saw in the paper the other day they're using pre-symptomatic, and they're trying to condition us to the idea that we all could be carriers. In other words, doesn't matter if we have any symptoms. It doesn't matter anymore if we're fucking sick. You could be a pre-symptomatic carrier. I'm so fucking pissed about that. I'm sorry to drop the F-bomb.
What's really disturbing about up here is that we have toll lanes, right, up here?
Yep.
And you, if you sign up with the, to make a long story short, you sign up, you automatically get charged if you use it for commute time. But what they do, it's ridiculous. They, instead of showing, you know, how many miles you got to go to a destination on non-busy times, they tell you, there's always these reminders saying, don't forget to wear your mask.
Right. That's,
and it's just I get so freaking angry to see that. It's like, Big Brother on steroids, if you ask me. But
exactly. So Jim, real quick,
it's really important.
What Mike's referring to, and I've seen all around because I drive around most of the good part of the Bay Area in my little logistics delivery gig here that I'm doing until such time as I get canned. Is all the freeway signs now are wear a mask in public. They used to say, one of them used to make me sick. It was like a little like rhyme. It go, be smart, do your part, beat COVID-19. I used to see that and I'd say it inside my head. Be smart, do your part, beat COVID-19. The whole thing is now disgusting. Now every damn freeway sign has been hijacked and it basically says, wear a mask in public, right?
That's the governor who's Nancy Pelosi's nephew. Giuseppe, I know you have thoughts you want to add here. Giuseppe.
It's so insane because there is no actual test for the COVID-19 SARS-2 coronavirus. Test doesn't exist. When they scrape the back of your nose with that six-inch cotton swab, that doesn't reveal anything other than what they want to see. It's not an accurate test. And the whole Serum Logic test
the vendors themselves state you cannot use this as a diagnostic test. There's as much as a 50% false positive. And then gets worse, they interpret it, the antibody test, IgG antibodies means you have immunity, and they lie about it. And then IgM is the proper scientific interpretation, is that your body is successfully fighting it and you have no problems. And then that leads into the whole idiotic thing Paul was just referring to with this asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic. It's so insane. Yeah, we have we have snippets of all kinds of viri in us. And to be asymptomatic means your immune system is handling it. It's just in your system. We all live in this great, beautiful world that's just a gigantic petri dish. We all get exposed to everything eventually. And so the idea, instead of the lunacy of this war on virus by...
Giuseppe, did we lose you?
Hey, everybody. Hey, this is Mitch. My Skype just crashed, and then it restarted. It looks like Jim's on hold. We'll be right back in a second. What in the hell is with my... Oh, there's my Skype coming back. Ah, shit. Yeah, fucking... Okay. Let me just hang up this fucking... fucking... Hey, Jim, if you can hear me, you're on hold. Please join the conversation here. Join up there where your call is. All right, guys, I'll have to do this. Hold on a second. I got to get this out here. Everybody's trying to call back in. Let me hang Jim up. Let me call Jim back. Wad. Hey, Jim, we got you back there yet? Oh, wait a minute. I got to add Jim. And if y'all hold on, quit calling back in, I'll get it straightened out, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, there's Jim. Sorry, Jim. My Skype just magically closed itself down as Bill called in. Anyway, I'll get everybody right back.
Okay. I thought I'd done something wrong.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm just sitting here. Oh, man. Boom, there's no sound.
I understand.
Wow.
Okay.
It was such a cordial conversation, too.
Okay, let's see. We got 99. Let me see. Okay.
So you couldn't answer because your Skype was down when I was trying to call you back on Skype.
Yeah, but when you tried to call me back, that put everything on hold, and then you were on hold anyway. So
okay.
Let me get. Okay, here we go. We'll get them all back right now. All right. We'll pull in Paul first, I guess.
That's fine. Giuseppe.
And we'll
bring them. Reach Paul. Thanks for calling. Leave your name and number. And,
there you go.
You
there you go.
Hello.
Hello.
The tone.
Paul.
Message. When you have finished recording, please record your message.
Oh, this is Giuseppe.
When you have finished recording, simply hang up or press pound for further options.
We had a Skype collapse, Giuseppe.
Okay.
Right.
We had a Skype collapse. Mitchell's Skype just went out. Amazing.
Yep, I heard Mitchell, he speaks French.
Go ahead, Giuseppe. Go
Son
ahead.
Of a Mitch.
Give us some further thoughts, Giuseppe, about all these matters.
Well, I tend to agree that these parasites have overplayed their hands, but in the short term, it's so, Paul was leading up to how insanely disappointed he is in the average citizen for going along with this. And then Scorpio pointed out to me all the fear porn on the Drudge Report. I don't regularly look at the Drudge Report. And at the same time, you've got the.
Wow. They found a way to attack us. They found a way to attack us. How bad is that?
It happened again, Jim. Here,
I can see Mitchell. I saw you disappear.
All right, here. I'm going to pull Bill in from Australia because he's the one that keeps banging the damn server, and I get and it just kicks me out. I guess when I try to bring him in. All right, talk for a minute, and I'll start dragging us all in.
Okay, go ahead. Bill, are you there?
No, he isn't yet, Jim.
Okay.
Okay, here comes Bill, and then I'll get everybody else back in.
Bill, give us your thoughts.
Come on, Bill, answer. Hey,
hello.
Bill.
Hello, I'm here. Bill's here.
Go ahead, Bill.
Bill's here. Okay. First of all, I posted the thing. Our Australian government says that you can't go by the symptoms. You have to have the test. And then you look up the test, and the test says the test isn't accurate. There's two tests. They aren't accurate, especially the serum one, which gives false positives. We really go by the symptoms. So it goes around in circles. It says you can't trust the symptoms. You have to have the test. And it says you can't trust the test. You go by the symptoms. And another thing I'd like to say, could I say something else? Did you see the news today? They're blaming
Please
the Pakistanis.
Please leave your message for...
Can you hear me? Yeah, they're blaming a crash in Pakistan last month on that they were distracted talking about the coronavirus. And all the people on the phone are telling that too. And they're blaming the crash on the coronavirus. That's on the ABC News, but it's about something that happened last month. And they're blaming the coronavirus because the pilots were talking about it. It's just madness. Anyway, I've said a bit, so I'll get off.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, unbelievable idiocy. Unbelievable idiocy. Do we have Paul or Giuseppe back?
I'm back, Giuseppe.
Go ahead, Giuseppe. Continue where you left off.
Oh, where I was leading was the if you step back and you look at this entire plandemic, scamdemic is a distraction.
Hi, thanks for calling.
To be able to
name a number and
do the so-called Great Reset, because the criminal coastal casino known as Wall Street and the globalist banks have so gambled in the neighborhood of $600 trillion in derivative bets and what have you. And so as we face this bug, this now the Washington Post is calling it the novel coronavirus, and I don't know, it's all, you step back and you look at how scripted this all is, and now that the average public is weary of these mindless rioters and looters, all of a sudden now on cue, chapter 3 in the movie is it's back and it's bad, and supposedly there's all these people in Houston. And you know, since we are dealing with conspiracy that often turns out to be truth, there's no doubt in my mind that Mossad agents or Merck private sector counterparts are going into some of these cities and releasing a toxin. And nature always modulates these poisons. Like, for example, they intentionally released Ebola in 2014. They were hoping it would achieve what they're trying now with a worldwide mandatory vaccine. And it modulated after killing about 23,000, which is tragic, but it's certainly not millions. And so this is all so scripted and so evil. And in conclusion, the average person needs to wake up and see they're being played. And you cannot take the flu vaccine, especially the one that's coming this fall. It will kill you. And you cannot absolutely ever take their RNA vaccines. That will absolutely mutate you. And
I think when they start to push the mandatory vaccine, all hell is going to break loose, Giuseppe. I think Americans who are going to let them stick a needle in them to kill them or take control of their brain. I think it ain't. It's going to be a hell of a bloodbath, I'll just tell you that.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4.
Yes, I'm still here.
To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
What the hell's going on? I got to tell you guys, are you here?
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax,
just stop trying to call anybody. We got Paul and Giuseppe. We'll finish out with them. Go ahead, Paul.
We got most everybody back.
Wait, who have I got?
Let me see. I think Danny's here on 510. Bill's here. I was trying to add a 608 number, but I don't know if we'll have time. We got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, we got Danny and Bill. Bill had said his piece. Giuseppe was trying to complete some thoughts before we had the interference. Go ahead, Giuseppe.
Well, Paul, it sounds like Paul has something he wants to say. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, sure. So quickly, I'm going to get to the vaccine, but technically this is the weirdest thing I've ever encountered. I just heard a few minutes ago, while I was connected on the phone listening to the show, waiting my turn, I heard my voicemail greeting being played on the air. So how the heck is that possible?
Well, don't worry about it. Anyway,
my neighbor has said to me, we had a conversation the other day, and it just, this whole virus thing came up, and he just goes, "Yeah, I'm gonna take the vaccine when it comes out." And I just, "Oh my God, please don't say that you just said that." And we got into it, right? And I mean, I'm passionate, you know. And he took it pretty well. And I just go, "Come on, for Pete's sake!" And he goes, he looks at me and he goes, "Come on, it's science." And oh my God, this is what these people, all these people out there, they're, and this guy's he's a professional guy. I mean, he's a white guy and he works in some tech capacity. And our conversation started because I said, "Are you working from home nowadays?" Right. And the next thing you know, he's throwing out, "Oh, you know, the reason he's going to take it, it's science." It's like, we're fucking finished. I'm sorry. I've had it with people. Let's get a compound in Mexico and just write this out.
I think there is a problem here that the American public is scientifically illiterate and really easily played. And they've been laying this propaganda gambit for years and years and years. And Gates, with all of his symposia about the great threat is not nuclear war, but a pandemic and all this other bullshit. I mean, they've just been laying it on so thick, so heavy. And then you have all the ongoing mainstream media propaganda channels where the television is the greatest brainwashing mechanism ever designed by the hand of man. It's just disgusting.
Can I make 2 points, Jim? Just two quick points. They brought the military into Victoria today. They brought the Australian Army into Victoria. And the other thing is we don't have to wear face masks.
And the other thing is what?
We don't have to wear face masks.
You do not have to wear face masks.
No, we don't have to.
Well, what's the military brought in for?
Well, because we had a few extra people supposedly catch it, so they're bringing the military in.
Not for the riots, but for
the military.
No riots. We don't have riots. We had a few things, not much. Okay. No, they brought it in to help with the hospital, hotels where they put the people that have got it.
Okay, Bill, I'm going to take those as your final.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll just listen.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Bill. Paul, your final thoughts.
You know, okay, so this is important here, I think, for what's coming, and I've been trying to wake as many people up as possible, and I think it's all our duty to do so, to do a number of things, to try to educate and to encourage people to stand their ground on this mask stuff. Now, just the other day, I was talking to a coworker in the warehouse, and he was telling me about his cousin who tested positive for COVID-19. I don't know why he got a test, but he did. So check this out. He swore to me this is what they did. They took him from the hospital to a quarantine hotel where he was quarantined for 30 days. And I said, "You're joking, right?" He goes, "No, no, he couldn't go." Yes, this is what they're doing. This is a black guy and his cousin.
Did he have to pay the hotel bill?
No, he didn't. But here's the thing: he had no symptoms, but he was positive, and they quarantined him. And I told my black coworker, who I'm on good terms with so far, I go, "So you realize what this means, right? It's basically a form of house arrest. It's a hotel arrest."
Totally fraudulent.
He's not sick. So this is the kind of stuff that's coming. So we got to stiffen our backbones. Thanks for hearing.
Paul, I think you're right. Giuseppe, you get the final word tonight.
That Paul's exactly right. All they're doing is using a little infrared thermometer. There's a half dozen reasons why your temperature can be elevated. And as soon as they see an elevated temperature, they say, you've got the coronavirus. There's 200 plus coronaviruses around at any given moment in the human body, variations. That's how you get a cold. That's how you get a summer cold. That's how you blah, blah, air conditioning cold. It's all this stuff. It's just insane. And you can't, you got people like Paul's right. We got to wake people up because this is just totalitarian boot on your throat kind of stuff. And we have to fight it.
Well, the Democrats have gone stark raving mad. I've never seen anything like this. So for a major political party to go this kind of batshit crazy is unreal. Mitchell, I want to thank you for keeping us on the air tonight, my friend. I think we're going to find ourselves in crazy.
Well, mostly on the air.
Really, really pleasure. All you guys to call in, you're just terrific. I really appreciate each and every one of you. And as Mitchell knows, I've recommended several of you as potential hosts for Revolution Radio. Meatball, thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too